Hello, this is Collective Noun Radio. For a high quality program, press 1. You have pressed 2.
This is Collective Noun on Hit 105.
Tonight on the show, Zach, a woman has paid $142 to meet Stephen Bradbury.
That's shocking, Dom.
Yeah, if you don't remember Stephen Bradbury, obviously we're talking about a former Olympian speed skater, famous for everyone else falling over.
I heard that at the event she was going to go see him at,
yeah,
it wasn't actually for him. It was another Olympian, but they fell over and he sweat through at the last minute and went to the podium.
I honestly don't know if there's many people in the world who I'd pay $142 to hear speak. Maybe the president. Maybe Barack Obama.
Of America.
Yeah, I would pay $142 to hear him speak.
But not the winner of a gold medal in the 2002 Winter Olympics.
And what's he going to say? He didn't have a great strategy. They just fell over.
Yeah, stay standing.
This is Collective Noun with Zach and Dom on Hit 105.
Dom, Maxim's Hot 100 list came out today, and one of the entries I think will take you by surprise. So obviously Maxim is the men's magazine. Some of the people in this top list, we got Margot Robbie,
yep,
Delta Goodrum,
oh,
Jennifer Hawkins, Miranda Kerr.
The usual suspects.
You understand what type of list this is.
Yeah.
All those ladies, very attractive.
I think so. I think, you know, the kind of people you'd expect to see at a swimsuit parade, those sorts of things, you know?
Rounding out the 100, sneaking in at number 100, is Pauline Hanson. Who, we're not making any comment about Pauline.
No.
I'm just saying compared to Margot Robbie.
Yes.
There's a lot of distance there.
Something odd's happened in the voting process. Someone's donkey voted when they were voting for the hottest 100 and somehow Pauline, like.
Well, she actually did very well in like the actual vote. Do you know what I mean? In the election. Maybe
exactly.
People were confused. And they're like, oh, no, I'm not voting for Margot Robbie. Pauline Hanson, she's a politician. I'll vote for her.
I mean, look, regardless of what you think of Pauline Hanson's policies, that's irrelevant. The point is, having a redheaded politician in the Maxim Hottest 100, it's not what you'd usually see there.
It's strange, Don.
It is strange.
However, when these things come up in life, you got to make the most of them. And that's what Channel 10's done.
Oh, well.
And I applaud them.
Okay.
They've been quick onto this. Apparently, Pauline Hanson is going to be next year's Bachelorette. I just found the promo today.
Introducing your new bachelorette, Pauline Hanson.
This is a huge move for me. My passion is there. I want to do it.
Let's get to know her. She lets us know her turn-offs.
I don't particularly like smoking.
Her list of locations for a perfect date.
Iraq, I think, was another one.
And don't worry, guys. She's not going to let the producers tell her who to pick.
No one's going to pull my strings. No one's going to tell me what to say.
If you want to date Pauline Hanson, give us a call now. Pauline, what's the number?
2019-2020.
This hasn't gone well. We haven't got any calls.
I'd be possibly the last one that they want to pick up the phone to.
No, hey, no, don't be down on yourself. I want you to turn that frown upside down, get out there, and be the next bachelorette. You can do this.
You know what that's called? Persistence. Because I believe in what I'm doing.
Yes! That's the spirit.
Coming soon to 10.
This is Collective Noun with Zach and Dom on Hit 105.
Now, Zach, I think I'm being catfished at the moment.
I'm glad you brought this up, Dom. And that's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Bring it up with friends. Maybe let the authorities know.
So obviously catfishing is when someone takes on like a fake online persona and tries to woo you romantically.
So you think you're being scammed for what, money?
I'm not sure what the scam is yet.
Okay.
That bit I don't know. So about a week ago, I matched with a girl on Tinder.
Yes.
Her name was Katie, right?
Too good to be true. Is that what you're thinking first up?
Oh, stunningly good looking to begin with. But also, her and I just hit it off from the start, right? So we just started chatting about our lives. You know, she was telling me about how she wants to be a doctor. I told her about my love of Michael Bublé music.
Right.
We were hitting it off.
Sure.
Right? And everything was going so well after a week of chatting on Tinder that I decided, as many people do with Tinder, let's move this to Facebook.
I saw you,
you?
Become friends with a girl named Katie on Facebook.
Right. Well, this is where the story begins to get interesting.
Okay. She's asked you for... She's a Nigerian prince and she's asked you for your bank account details.
Well, not quite that, right? So here's what's happened. I went to her Facebook page and a few things started raising alarm bells.
Mm.
Tell me if you think this is odd. Her friends list was completely on private.
No, that's okay.
That's okay?
Yep.
Okay, we'll start with okay. Secondly, all of her photos, and she only had about 8 photos posted, had an average of 2 or 3 likes.
Again, I think that's okay. What time frame were the photos? I'd be looking at how far back they are.
Nothing had been on her account before August of this year.
Ooh.
I know, so it's starting to get interesting at this stage. And I'm starting, my suspicions are raised, but I'm a believer in true love.
Because I don't think any young person has got Facebook in the last 3 months.
No.
You've had Facebook for a while.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's what Facebook on this day is. It banks on the fact that you've had it for a while.
Oh, my mum has been on Facebook for 5 years. If you're 23 and you're just getting on Facebook, something hasn't gone right.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing, though. My suspicion was getting raised, but I still wanted to believe that it was true because we were getting on so well, right? This is when things didn't go well. A friend of mine, who I was showing the pictures to, recognised the pictures. An LA Instagram model, their pictures had been used by this account. So, the pictures are fake.
Mm.
The friendships are fake on Facebook. The whole thing is fake.
Okay, you're going down to pictures, friends on Facebook. Dom, this person is an Instagram model from LA. And they matched with you, and that wasn't alarm bells enough?
No. Sorry, so no, they're using the Instagram model's pictures and saying that they're somebody else.
That's what right. I'm saying. So someone who's good-looking enough to be an LA model right. is matched with you, and alarm bells didn't go off?
I didn't. I mean, maybe flukes happen. I don't know. I believe in
okay, well, now we have to catch
miracles.
Her out. That's what we have to do from here. So what have you done?
Well, so right now, curiosity is just getting the better of me. The conversation's ongoing.
We need a number. And we'll call the number and see what we get.
Well, because right now, she has no clue I'm onto her.
Okay.
Right.
So still just chitty-chatty stuff.
Yeah, we're just talking life, right? We're just shooting the breeze. So I reckon that's what we do, right? As much as I am hesitant to completely...
Tonight, ask for a number and see how she comes back. Yeah, 100%. Okay. But and we'll see if tomorrow night on the show we can call her.
I don't know if I want to burn this bridge though, Zach. There's still part
there's
of me.
Still hope.
Like, I know it's a fake account and everything's fake, but it is actually the most serious I've been with someone in 2 years.
You would rather the ignorance. You're like, I don't care if she's catfishing me. I'm happy to pay the money.
Exactly.
For the uni students pulling an all-nighter, this is Collective Noun on Hit 105.
Dom, there's a woman in America who's trying to sue KFC for $26 million.
Oh.
For false advertising.
That is a lot of zinger fillets. $26 million. Yes. That's probably close to my annual spend at KFC.
You can cover it.
I can. With my custom, they will be able to cover that.
Well, this is the story, right? She went and she bought a bucket of chicken and she says it's false advertising. This was her quote. They say it feeds the whole family. They're showing a bucket that's overflowing with chicken, the 64-year-old said.
Okay.
You get half a bucket. It's false advertising and it doesn't feed the whole family. They're small pieces.
Right. How big's a family?
I don't know. That's a good point.
Well, because obviously the claim is it might feed a family. But if your family's like 15 people, probably won't feed the whole family.
True. There's probably like a little asterisk that says like based on 4 people or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah,
so
exactly.
Basically what she's saying, and people might have experienced this.
Mm.
In the ads, the bucket is like the chicken's coming out of the bucket.
Yeah.
So you can see it from the top. Now, obviously when you buy it, it's inside. So KFC came back to her
right.
and explained that to her. They said,
hang on, they didn't pay out the $26 million straight away?
Not yet.
Okay.
They've said, well, that's so people can see it, you know, so we boost it up. Yeah. Otherwise, people wouldn't be able to see it. She wasn't happy with that explanation.
Right.
I'm probably still on her side, to be honest, because I'm like, okay, that's false advertising.
But it would be hard to give a bucket to somebody with chicken overflowing
that's
from
true.
It.
That's true. Then they've given her 2 vouchers for free meals.
Right.
And that's probably where I go to KFC's side. I go like, okay, that's enough to fulfill the complaint.
That's true.
But she said, no, I don't want your 2 vouchers. I want $26 million. And that's where it gets excessive, don't you think?
I think so. I mean, this is like, people always complain about how chip packets are half full, for example, right? Mm. Hey, you buy a chip packet, but half of it's full of air. But no one is suing Smith's for $26 million.
Because you understand that the ad isn't exactly what it is. I mean, by this logic, she's going to get really upset when Snickers doesn't turn you into a different person. Or Ronald McDonald isn't selling burgers.
Exactly.
This was my favourite part of the whole thing, though.
Yeah.
She then goes on to pitch what the commercial should be.
Oh, wow. So not only is she going to sue them, she's going to provide free advertising consultancy.
This is a direct quote.
Yeah.
You know what commercial they should put on? You remember that movie Oliver? She said. It was about a little boy growing up in the orphanage.
Wow.
And he was hungry. And he goes to the man, can I have some more? She's pitching ads at them.
Oh, that is incredible. And if KFC is smart, they will be doing that at ASAP. That's
well, Dom,
incredible.
I'm one ahead of you.
What?
I've put together a demo of what that ad would sound like. Apparently, this is the new KFC ad.
Lisa, I want some more.
More? KFC's ultimate burger.
It's short, but I agree. I think it's effective.
This is Collective Noun on Brisbane's Hit 105.
Zach, I was just sharing a story how I think I'm being catfished.
We're broadcasting a catfishing live on the radio.
I matched with someone on Tinder. We added each other on Facebook. Her name was Katie, and good conversation going on until I realised the account was fake and using the images of a US Instagram model.
That should have been alarm bells,
right?
But you let it proceed.
Well, what we thought we'd do is try to get her phone number and call her, or call the person behind the account live on air.
Mm.
Literally in the past 2 minutes, I've been blocked.
By her?
By her on Facebook. It says, you cannot reply to this conversation. I can't go to her account. It's gone.
They were listening.
They were listening. The person, the catfisher, was just listening. We were that close to them.
I don't want to alarm you, Brisbane, but look around.
Oh.
Be conscious of the people you're with. Was anyone on a phone when they were near you recently?
This is incredible. This is like a hunt. If you're the catfisher, call in and we'll give you an anonymous name.
Call catfisher. We won't get you in trouble.
We won't.
I'm not sure if we're allowed to do that. Are we allowed to do that?
Maybe not. Maybe not. But
I think we are.
Are we?
Sure.
131060, if the catfisher's listening. Although I'm going to hazard a guess. If they've deleted me and blocked me on Facebook, then they're out. They've probably got a new passport and fleeing countries.
Is catfishing before you've asked for money?
Yes.
Breaking the law?
I don't know.
Is catfishing breaking the law at all?
I'm not
sure. I assume so. I think it's like fraud.
It probably is a case of fraud.
They're definitely not calling now that we've had this conversation.
Look, very true. But anyway, I kind of feel like I came so close to uncovering it. I got too close, Zach, and it's gone.
You got to be careful. It is like fishing.
Mm.
You know, you got to pull them in slowly, because if you're too quick, you're too excited, they block you on Facebook.
For the late night Macca's run, this is Collective Noun on Hit 105.
Straight off the bat, 131060. Have you ever seen Stephen Bradbury?
Obviously Stephen Bradbury. What is it, 2002 Winter Olympics?
That's the one.
He won a gold medal after everyone else fell over.
Australia's first ever Winter Olympics gold medal, and still the way we'd want to win it. If you don't remember it, this was the audio of the commentary when everyone else fell over and he won the most accidental gold of all time.
Stephen Bradbury of Australia crossed the line.
Just a quintessential Australian
moment. What a moment.
It's come up in the past few days that he's obviously these days does the dinner tour. You know, he goes around and speaks at functions, and he found himself at the Catherine Business Dinner in the Northern Territory when a woman travelled 3 hours and paid $142 just to meet him.
$142 to meet Stephen Bradbury seems excessive, because I could understand that for like Taylor Swift. Or Coldplay.
Yes.
Someone where you don't get the opportunity very often. It's like, I got to go right now because they're not going to be back in the country. Who knows when they're going to come back? But I would feel like Stephen Bradbury would be fairly easy to come across.
Are you saying that the radio station's not giving away Stephen Bradbury meet and greets? Because we should get on that if they're not.
We should. That would be great. Remember, from 15 years ago, this guy who was kind of relevant for a while.
Well, here's the thing, right? So she's written a letter, this girl called Caitlin from Darwin, she's written a letter in the Northern Territory Times newspaper chronicling her adventure of meeting Stephen Bradbury and how excited she was. She even wanted to get his signature tattooed on her arm. That's how much she loves Stephen Bradbury.
What?
I know. I mean,
is she really into ice skating?
Maybe
not,
she's
from, you know, not in the outback, I'd imagine. Or maybe that's what it is.
All right.
See, she's never seen ice,
it's
so
mystical.
it's like another planet.
Yeah, that's very true. Well, here's the thing, Zach. We don't believe it can possibly be that hard to see Stephen Bradbury.
Surely not.
I think I've heard rumours, and obviously with Stephen Bradbury, so much of it is mythology. So much of it is rumour. But that he might even live in southeast Queensland.
I at least know that he used to train. Because I remember around 2002, I think on the south side of Brisbane, I could
I
be wrong.
So, yeah.
I went past a ice rink and someone told me, the legend, used to train there. And I said, really? And they said, well, rumour has it.
Yeah.
But we don't know what's true, Dom, because it's like Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory. Nobody goes in, nobody goes out. Stephen Bradbury, we don't know where he trained. We don't know if he's hard to come by or not.
131060, where might you have seen Stephen Bradbury?
Well, ice skating would be great.
Ice skating would be amazing.
But, I mean, we could go to the movies, just walking down the street.
That's
if you
not
actually
bad.
Saw him at an official Stephen Bradbury meet and greet, they, apparently they happen.
Maybe even he came to your school or your workplace and gave an inspirational... Can that man give inspirational speeches?
Yeah, Last One Standing. I think that's the name of his book, actually.
Beck's on the phone. Beck, you've had an experience yourself?
Yes, I did.
Ooh, what was it?
He came to my team building day at work.
Right.
And Beck, did you have to pay $142 to meet him?
No, I didn't. But what I can say, he is one of the most inspirational speakers that I've ever heard.
Beck, just a question as we wrap up. I imagine all your family and friends, they probably don't believe that you've had a real-life Bradbury sighting. How do you convince them?
I have pictures of him with his gold medal.
Oh, wow.
Obviously, the pictures are blurry, though, yeah. Dom. And no one can really get a good look at him.
For the uni students pulling an all-nighter, this is Collective Noun on Hit 105.
This is Collective Noun's Out of Context News.
Making Out of Context News tonight, Taylor Swift explained why she wants to move to Ipswich.
I can wear sweaters. I can wear knee socks. I could even buy sweaters for my cats to wear.
Also, Guy Sebastian has been binge-watching The Walking Dead.
There's always compromise, you know? Like, there's always a compromise. And for me, that compromise is generally sleep.
And Donald Trump found out how much he spent at Macca's last night.
$70,000. When I saw $70,000, I said, please go back. It can't be possible. Can you believe this? $70,000.
This is Collective Noun with Zach and Dom on Hit 105.
Dom, I think you can learn a lot from someone's internet search history. That's why we started this.
Dom's Google History. Whoa, okay. Can only imagine.
Dom, I've been through your Google history, picked out my favourite three searches of the week. You have to explain these searches to the people of Brisbane.
I love this because it's educational. I've learned something this week and now I can share what I learned.
This is the bizarre stuff Dom has been Googling. Our first one, at 1:30 a.m. on Sunday. Is there internet in Antarctica?
I remember Googling that one.
What's the story there?
I was just reading about Antarctica right now. Do you know there's people who pretty much live down there permanently now? Mostly
yes.
Scientists.
Yes.
Not like young couples.
No one's going there for a honeymoon or because the prices are good.
There's not a Delphin retirement village there just yet. But no, I was just wondering if they'd have internet down there.
Do they?
It turns out you can't, but it's very expensive.
Right.
It's like, imagine, you know, when you stay at a hotel
yeah.
in a city and it's like $20 an hour for the
yes.
internet? It's like that kind of setup.
When I move my laptop a little bit away from the router, it starts to stuff up. I imagine in Antarctica, it's really quite blotchy, the Netflix down there. The second thing you Googled, Dom, Friday at 12:19 a.m. How to get a jawline.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't want you to bring this one up. So this is the thing, right? All the time, people speak about how attractive a nice jawline is, a chiseled jawline.
Yep.
And I was wondering, is that something you're born with, or is there a way to achieve a jawline?
My guess? Born with it.
Yep.
What was the answer?
Turns out I'm stuck with this round face.
Well, do you know how girls do contouring to make your cheekbones look bigger and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Could you do that with a jawline?
I could certainly look into it, and I certainly will. Next week's Google History, how to contour my jaw.
All right, the last thing I want you to explain, Dom, you Googled at 2:25 a.m. on Friday.
Oh, a late one.
How to win games at a school fete. Which seems like what the bad guy does in kids' movies. What was this?
Okay, so to put it in context, I got invited along to my old school's school fete on the weekend. I knew I was going to go along. And every time I used to go to that when I was in the school, I would never win anything. I lost money at that fete every year, and I knew this one was going to be different. So I just basically wanted the hacks to win the basketball throwing game.
But the hacks are to be good at basketball. Did it say go back in time and learn basketball as a three-year-old?
Well, it didn't help me on a lot of different games, right? But the one it did help me was the grocery wheel. Right?
What's that?
So the grocery wheel, it's like a wheel. I'll go into this briefly. There's like 8 colours. You buy a colour, and if your colour spins up, you win a bag of groceries.
Oh, jeez. Are you sure this was a school fete and not like the retirement village fete? That sounds like the most boring prize in the world.
I did win 2 bags of groceries.
Yes! Eggs on you.
It's got like white rice and flour in there. It's the first thing I've ever won.
For the late night drives, this is Collective Noun on Hit 105.
If you've listened to the podcast before, you know that each week we ask, beg, nay, plead for 5-star reviews on the iTunes podcast store, aka the Collective Noun Forum, aka the happiest place on the internet.
All you have to do to get onto the Collective Noun Forum is pay your admission price. That's a 5-star review.
Cheap as chips.
Oh, isn't it? Isn't it, right? If you could pay a 5-star review on the iTunes podcast store to get into other places, wouldn't you do that in a heartbeat?
To get into the Taylor Swift concert?
Oh.
Coldplay?
Exactly.
NRL Grand Final?
And
other events?
Zach's just going through his calendar. But isn't this the happiest of all the places to be? So, and
certainly.
It's cheapest as well, which is great. All you have to do, leave your 5-star rating on the iTunes podcast store, write whatever you want in the review, and you're in. Now, Zach, The Bachelorette, obviously big show on TV at the moment, The Chronicles of Love. And we've got our own little Chronicle of Love that we've been following on the Collective Noun forum surrounding Unigirl 97 and our producer, Michael.
She has eyes for him, I think they say back in the olden days.
I believe she told us last time that they actually met once.
And you asked for the story, Dom.
I did. And I asked for it to be in story form. She's given it to us, but how could I do this without some accompanying music?
Of course.
Here we go. If Michael can figure out who this is, just letting you all know that I will have lost my dignity. Basically, long story short, I stumbled across Michael on social media and then added him on Snapchat because he looked like a nice guy.
Romance as old as the ages.
We didn't talk at first, but then a couple of months later, after having a successful night out at an event, I posted a quick snap to my story to let people know what I was up to.
It's like Cinderella.
Good plug for Snapchat there too.
Instead of a glass slipper, it was a snap.
This is when Michael and I first spoke. Oh, do you feel the flutter there, Zach?
I'm just caught up in this music.
It was a short conversation, just general chit-chat, and that was it. But just these past few months, the conversation has picked up. It was really nice getting to know him. He has a pretty interesting life compared to mine. I don't know what life he was telling her about.
Which one of those identities did you tell her about, Michael?
Then one night we met up. We made small talk before spending the rest of the night amongst the commotion. Afterwards, we walked back towards the bus stop together and we said our goodbyes. She's now included a bit in brackets. I felt sorry for him. My goodbye was probably pretty awkward, going a little something like, "It was good to see your face." Yeah, you go, girl. That's how you do it. Use that charm. I love the self-annotation in the story.
That was great.
Who knew that would be the last time I saw those gorgeous eyes again?
Oh, really? Gorgeous eyes?
Gorgeous eyes, I know.
Wow.
Would you say Michael has gorgeous eyes?
Give me a look, Michael.
Just
I can't even tell what colour they are.
Are they gorgeous? I don't care about the colour.
Brown.
Are they gorgeous?
Sure. Okay. I felt a little uncomfortable staring into Michael's eyes, I'll be honest.
Nearly at the end of the love note. And now we don't talk anymore because my best friend thinks he is a player and didn't give him the approval.
Oh, sad ending.
XO, Unigirl 97. Michael. To state the defence, let's call you into this.
Wow. Well, firstly, great story. And thank you for the story, Unigirl 97. And thank you, Dom, for the narration.
Do you reckon I can get an audiobook?
I'd also like to thank Celine Dion for the backing there.
Very kind of her to lend us her track. Look, it is a beautiful story of life.
Interesting points. What do you want to go over with Michael, Dom?
A few things.
Because there's a glaring thing I want to talk about.
Do you want to lead off then?
I think up to the last part of the story, what a story.
Oh, yeah.
Michael, firstly, do you recall these incidents?
Yes. That's definitely one way to tell the story. Right. He's blushing, Zach.
Oh. I would like to know, why did the friend disapprove of you?
And obviously, the best friend approval is a very important thing.
Of course,
to get.
That's the stamp you need.
Isn't it? But the odd bit then, Zach, is that she's gone on to say that her best friend thought that Michael was a player.
Michael, did you let off any player vibes, do you think?
I mean, I don't think so. My main memory of the best friend is just being like, oh, she really doesn't like me, but I'm not sure why.
Oh, you thought the best friend didn't like you.
I definitely got that vibe.
So you thought that the you weren't going to get the stamp. If you had to say at the end of that, you said the best friend...
I wasn't aiming for the stamp, but I didn't
think... But you have to be aware that it exists.
You have to know.
They're going to chat.
The stamp is a real thing, Michael, and you're an idiot if you don't go into it knowing about the stamp.
I agree with you. I just didn't realize that was the context of me meeting this person.
Oh, okay. So you didn't know it was a romantic complex.
I'm really sorry. Like, Unigirl 97, I apologize completely, but I was unaware that was the context.
Okay.
I don't believe that.
Nor do I. And in fact, the fact you've drawn a heart with Unigirl 97 written in it makes me think otherwise, Michael. So say what you will.
Did you bring anything up that night that would indicate that you're a player?
I mean, I did say I've got to get going. I've got 3 other dates to go to. But
well,
that
would have given it away.
Did you take your black book with you, actually? Or did you leave that at home?
I said, yeah, I can squeeze you in. I've got about 7 minutes here.
Maybe it will continue like this. You know, maybe he didn't get the approval. The chat's over now. But it's to better to have loved and lost. Isn't that right? Is that Shakespeare?
I think so, than to have never loved at all.
Exactly. So it's better to have had a conversation on the way to the bus stop than to have never chatted at all, surely.
Exactly, Michael. So we'll let you off the stand now. Thank you for defending your case. As we move on to our second review, Zach, on the Collective Noun Forum. And you know what? The theme of love continues. Natalie Poo emoji.
This is just becoming a dating service. Is this going to be... What is this? What's this about?
RSVP of the Collective Noun Forum edition, clearly. Natalie Poo emoji, Zach. We've had numerous conversations with her about how well she matches me in a few different
ways. You're just trying to get in on this. You keep attaching yourself to every romantic story that's on the forum.
Natalie Poo emoji is, I think, the Buble fan. Do you remember? And the milk drinker. I think we've had heard from her a few times, and she's very much into some of the things I'm into.
I'm uncomfortable with the direction the forum's taking. We've gone through different generations of what it was about.
That's true.
And the fact now that it is basically Tinder, I'm not sure that this is what we want.
Do we need to do a review of where the Collective Noun Forum is sitting?
Well, let's go through Natalie's review.
So Natalie Poo emoji, who already shares some common interests with me, says the happiest place on earth is making me even happier by discussing Christmas this early on.
Okay.
I can't believe Dom's limits on Christmas carols, though. I said last week you're allowed 2 to 3 a week in October. That extends to 10 a week in November, and then unlimited in December.
You have a self-instigated Christmas carol quota?
Quota is a good word, right? Because you don't want to go too early, right? You need to preserve
restriction.
Exactly. Natalie says, though, she's listening to at least 25 to 30 per week at the moment.
Wow.
And will move on to unlimited from November. Risky approach. I mean, I applaud the bravery. But it's risky. Natalie goes on to say, Christmas has to be a 3-month-long festival of fun because it's only here once a year. Preach it, sister.
I've never heard you speak with such conviction.
So Natalie then wants to know my opinion on one of the great Christmas films of all time, Love Actually.
Mm.
Because she said, it seems to involve all of my favourite things, love, tick, Christmas, and Colin Firth.
Oh, I have a great Love Actually story.
Do you?
Yeah, do you know this?
No.
I went to see Love Actually when I was like 12, probably way too young for a particular scene, full nudity. Okay. So here's the deal. I went with my family. Like I was 12. I have a little sister who's younger than me.
I think I have heard this. Great.
And my dad was like really not happy because his friend suggested it as a great family movie.
Right.
And we like afterwards he's going like, I don't know what they were talking about. He's like, that wasn't very family friendly at all. That wasn't appropriate for young kids. And then he was telling his friend, like, why did you tell us to go see that? And he's like, there's no nudity in it. And he's like, yeah, there's like pretty confronting nude scenes. And he's like, oh, I saw it on the plane.
Oh, the
they
plane
must have
edit.
Edited it out.
The plane edit. Oh, wow.
So if you take out those scenes, it's a great family flick.
And the damage calls from that cinema screening, is that stuck with you to this day?
Well, I wonder what the rating is, whether it was above, like, surely it's an MA.
Oh, no, I think it would just be M.
Just M?
Just M is my gut feel. But look, in response to your question, Natalie, Love Actually is one of the best films. I don't know which scene makes me cry the most.
Who do you relate it most to?
Which character?
Yes.
That's a really good question. Probably Colin Firth's character. He falls in love with the maid there, and he
at his work or at his house? Or what?
I think at his house. Holiday home he's at, right? Yep. And then one of the final scenes is him. I'm pretty sure proposing to her in front of her whole family.
Yeah, and then don't they show? Is he like at a lake learning the language? Is
yeah,
that a different movie.
I think that's a sequel. No, I think that scene's in there. Yeah,
he actually there's him standing by a lake in every Colin Firth movie. That's in his contract. I have to be by a lake in a sweater at one stage in the movie.
Or at least a small body of water. He doesn't specify the lake. Sometimes it's a
lake,
lock.
Pond, lock, whatever.
Exactly. But look, Love Actually, top 5 Christmas movies, undoubtedly.
Mm.
As we've chatted numerous times, doesn't top the Santa Claus, Tim Allen's classic there. I'd probably put Elf above it.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be on par with the new version of Miracle on 34th Street.
Okay.
But yeah, so...
And do you cry at the end with I Think God Only Knows by Beach Boys? Playing and it's a bit of a montage.
Yeah, that's an unbelievably emotional scene. The whole film, though, is full of tear-jerking moments.
Yeah.
Probably the film second film I've cried the most in my life.
What's number one?
Did you see Armageddon? Bruce Willis?
An action movie?
No. It's the one where...
Yeah, it's an action movie. It's like a thriller.
The drillers are set up to destroy the meteor.
Yeah, that's right.
To stop it destroying Earth. And spoiler alert here, at the end, he sacrifices himself for Earth to live.
Yeah.
That made
but
me
what
really
you
emotional.
Relate so much to Bruce Willis in that moment.
I don't know what, but I was a wreck for a week after that movie. I just bawled.
Did you cry in any other Bruce Willis movies? Shed a tear and Die Hard?
Look, not so much. It's fair to say Bruce Willis hasn't done many other movies.
No, he's not known for his emotional moments.
I did cry with laughter in The Whole Nine Yards. Obviously, Bruce Willis, Matthew Perry, classic film there. But I just think that Armageddon is such an emotionally stirring film. So, yeah, that's number one.
Do you know what would have made Armageddon better?
Yeah.
Is if they had to save Earth on Christmas. Wouldn't that have been good?
Yeah, but you can't have the main character die on Christmas. There'd need to be a Christmas miracle.
No, it's on Christmas Eve.
Good.
Okay, Santa comes in, attaches his sleigh to the asteroid.
Yeah, that's not bad.
and then, like, flies it away into space, flings it into space.
A Christmas miracle.
Yeah.
Do all the kids still get their presents on Christmas Eve? Or does Santa not have time? Mm. Oh, my gosh, here's the twist. Bruce Willis delivers the presents for Santa.
He becomes Santa. I would actually watch Bruce Willis as Santa. That would be great.
All right. Well, look, thank you so much, Natalie Poo Emoji, for leaving that review. I think she's contacted us saying that she doesn't like the name Natalie Poo Emoji.
Does she? Fair enough, dude.
I mean, it's what she is here on the Collective Noun forum.
So does it actually have the emoji?
Yeah, Natalie Poo Emoji, as you can see there.
Maybe that's chocolate ice cream.
You reckon?
I think technically it is.
No.
Is it? Yeah, it
really? Is. That is shocking. Thank you very much, Natalie. And I think it's fair to say that there'll be plenty more Christmas chat in the podcast over the coming weeks.
Sure. I'm going to try to limit it. We might give you a Christmas special where we can go nuts.
Oh, that would be amazing. I've started my Christmas shopping, actually. I bought you a present.
Oh, did you?
Yesterday, yeah.
Oh, thank you very much.
No, well, you can thank me when you get it. But you can thank me now if you want as well. But look, that does wrap up the Collective Noun Forum for today.
You know it's my birthday next week?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't do birthday presents.
Okay, so you do Christmas presents, but not birthday presents.
Yeah, for everybody. Birthdays is like, because then you got to think of numerous ones a year. Christmas is a festival, so I think of everyone at once.
Okay, fair enough.
Efficiency. Do you want to do something for your birthday? Are you expecting a present?
No, I'm not expecting. I just thought it'd be odd that it's so close to my birthday and you'd buy me a present that wasn't birthday related.
You know, if it gets here in time, I'll give it to you as a birthday present.
Sure.
That's the deal. Okay, it's being delivered. Good. If you do want to get on the Collective Noun forum, all you have to do is search for Collective Noun on iTunes, leave your 5-star rating, whatever you want, in the review, and we'll read it out next time on the show.
This is Collective Noun on Brisbane's Hit 105.
Dom, it's been announced after a 12-year run, Dancing with the Stars will not be returning in 2017.
You can hear a few grannies around Australia upset.
Well, Dancing with the Stars, it's an interesting one because you know how there's like some shows or some movies where people say people will be on it before they're famous?
Yeah.
Dancing with the Stars is the only show that has people after they're famous.
We were chatting last week about how doing a Christmas album is one of the branches you hit when you're falling out of the fame tree.
Another one is Dancing with the Stars.
It really is. You're not a star by the time you're on that show anymore.
Below or above? Doing a Christmas album.
Almost on par, I'd say. I think you probably do
you'd
both at the same time.
You'd go on Dancing with the Stars to promote your Christmas album. That's what you'd do.
Exactly. But look, I'm very sad to see it go. I didn't know still on. But
did you know it had been going for 12 years? That seems like a lot, hey?
I thought they did 2 seasons. I had no idea.
I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
It's been going for a long time.
There's
been a lot of stars on it. That's why we thought to honour the great show, we'd play everyone's favourite game. Were they on Dancing with the Stars?
Okay.
The way this works, Dom, is I'm going to give you a star.
Yep.
And all you need to tell me is, were they on the show or not? It's pretty simple.
Are they actual stars? Because if so, the answer will be no.
Some are. Okay. Some were.
Right. If Daryl Summers is on this list. He hosted it,
yeah.
Oh, that makes so much sense. All right. Let's do it.
First person, Tenya Zayeta from Who Dares Wins. Was she on Dancing with the Stars or not?
I think she does Bollywood now. I think that's what Tenya Zayeta's gone on to do after an advertising campaign. Tanya would have been on Dancing with the Stars.
2005, correct.
Come on.
Number two, we have Olympian Tasman Lewis. Was she on Dancing with the Stars or not?
With all due respect, what was her event?
I actually don't know. She was a swimmer.
Okay, yeah. Not one of the more.
Yeah, she won some
she
stuff.
Was?
Yeah.
She won some stuff. Okay.
You do not even know the name.
I do know the name vaguely, but she's not up there with, you know, your Stephanie Rice.
No, not quite.
Tasman Lewis, was it? I'm going to say an Olympian whose flame has burnt out. Sounds right up their alley. Yes.
No.
No.
Unfortunately, that was incorrect, Dom. She was on Celebrity Splash. So she was open to the celebrity shows.
Oh, that's it. Which one would you not want to put in your resume more? Mm. Dancing with the Stars or Celebrity
Splash?
Well,
see, I think Tasman's done the right thing. In Celebrity Splash is up her alley. She can dive.
What year was she on that?
2009, maybe? I don't know.
All it would say, though, on her resume is that year's just blank. You didn't do anything that year, hey?
Nope. All right, number three, Chris Hemsworth.
Oh, no. Thor himself.
Was he on Dancing with the Stars or not?
No way.
Wrong.
What?
He was on Dancing with the Stars in 2006.
Seriously?
Probably the only one who went on to bigger things.
That would have been, I guess, his Home and Away days. That is incredible that...
You have to get the next two correct to win, Dom.
Okay.
So you're on thin ice here.
Mm.
We have Sarah Marie from 2001's Big Brother. Was she on Dancing with the Stars?
She's not even one of the more well-known Big Brother contestants.
Yes, she was. Do you not remember her? Oh. She did the bum dance, so that might give it away. She was known for dancing.
The bum dance.
I don't think they do that on Dancing with the Stars. They do the foxtrot, the salsa. I don't think they do the bum dance.
I reckon that there is a fair bet that she was on Dancing with the Stars.
Correct. 2005.
Come on.
You're coming back strong. You have one more to get.
All right. If I get this, would I qualify for being on Dancing with the Stars?
Yes, maybe. This celebrity, Shane Warne.
Warney.
Cricketer, socialite, pizza lover.
Well, here's the question I've got to ask. Were there other attractive women on Dancing with the Stars in that year that he might have been on?
Very possible.
Okay, in that case, Warney was definitely on.
No!
No!
He was on Celebrity Get Me Out of Here, but not Dancing with the Stars.
Really?
The King of Spin has yet to lace on the dancing shoes.
Okay, well, that's a shame because that would have saved the show.
He should hope.
That is all we got time for on the show tonight. We'll be back tomorrow from 11 p.m. Until then, that's us out.
See ya.
That's all from Collective Noun. Grab podcasts and videos online at facebook.com/collectivenouncomedy. Brisbane's Hit 105.